ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ ಉನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ ಫಾರ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ನ ವೆರಿ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಡೇ. ವಿಚ್ ಎವರ್ ಡೇ ವಿ ಕಮ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕಂಪನಿ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ದಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಡೇ. ದ ಡೇ ವಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದರ್ಶನ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ directly or indirectly, that means indirectly if you don't have the facility for hearing lectures or we don't meet devotees, that is a very unfortunate day. And we are blessed, actually truly blessed, because directly and indirectly abundantly we are getting darshan and association of devotees. Maybe it is truly the result of many, many pious activities done in the past, 100%. It's not a source of pride, but it's a privilege. It's honor, actually, that we are bestowed upon this most wonderful association of devotees. It is said that human life is very rare to achieve. While we are in the human life, we don't realize so much. It is so rare. But just imagine that you happen to be a dog for one day. Then we will understand what is the fortune of being a human being. Very, very rare. Very rare. It's so much of facility, of association, the holy name, the Lord, knowledge about the Lord, service to the Lord, the prasad of the Lord, the holy dham of the Lord. Everything is available only to human beings. Even as a dog, if I am there in the holy place, I may not realize the value of the holy place. I'll be fortunate to be a dog in the holy place, but in the dog's form in the holy place, I may not realize the importance of the holy place. I'll just look for the bone. Where's the bone? Or where's the she-dog? That's all. So, each and every day we should actually meditate. I'm so fortunate. And more than the human life, what is more privilege is satsanga. Satsanga is a fruit of human life. Actually, the most beneficial benediction that the Lord is giving us in this human life is satsanga. That's why it is said, which is also in the rare human life, the most rare in human life is satsanga. And fortunately, we have got that in abundance in this life. We have met a pure devotee. We have heard from a pure devotee in the form of books and lectures. And we have met a pure devotee. Many pure devotees we have met in this life. We have heard the purest, most philosophy. We have got the highest of privilege. That's why we are the chosen amongst all the people in the world. Again, nothing to be proud of, only to be grateful for. That's all. We have to only be grateful. Because we haven't done any tapasya. I have not gone to Himalayas giving up my family, my money, my education, or my any attachments or food. I haven't gone to Himalayas and to meditate and to find the truth, find the guru. I have not gone any tapasya. I have just been given all these things free of charge, in a very easy form. And I didn't want it, still it was given to me. I was rejecting it. I was arguing against it. I was fighting with the devotee who was giving me all these things. And still it was given to me. And that is the very subject of our today's talk. Why it is so? Although I have not done any tapasya, I haven't desired so strongly, I haven't expressed my desire by any actions, and still I am being given. Why? Let's begin with the situation in India. The most important, or whatever what we think important activity that we do, is sense gratification. And people are doing so many rituals. Why, you know? Because they want to get sukha, the result of their good activity in the form of enjoyment. That is called as karmakanda. Karmakanda means they will just do all those so-called religious activities just to get sense gratification, just to get enjoyment. And karmakanda is very prevalent in India. Very, very prevalent in India. Most people are very religious, but the aim of being religious is to have sense gratification. Large category of people, including most of us, are in that category. When we get up in the morning, we only pray, today I should get sukha and I should not get dukha. The sole purpose of today's day, aaj dukh nahi hona chahiye, aaj sukh hona chahiye. And then amongst these, some people rise above that situation. And they come to know, all this sense gratification is useless. Finally, I'm going to die one day. All that I have achieved for sense gratification has to be left here only. And then they start finding, who am I? And what is this life all about? What is this death? Why am I getting old? Why am I getting diseased against my desire? They start searching. And then you come to know, all this is because I am in this body. And this body is dying. And it's all because of karma. I want to give up everything. I want to become renounced. I want to get liberated. That is moksha. And that is called Jnana Yoga. Karmakanda and Jnana Kanda. Jnana Kanda means I know now that there is nothing in this world which is actually good for me. Everything is just suffering and ending in death. I want to just give up everything and liberate myself from the cycle of birth and death. And there are some kind of rare number of people are there who always are looking for some mysticism. As a doctor now also, I feel sometimes when there is a incurable disease, I wish I should have a power just to touch him and get him all right. Just chant a mantra, close my eyes, just touch my hand and he should be all right. All his cancer should go away, brain tumor should go away. His old age suffering should go away. His hair should become black from grey. Sometimes we desire, because we can't see sufferings of people who are suffering so much. I wish I could just raise my hand like this and he should be all right. What is that? That is the unknown hidden desire for mystic powers. I wish, there's so much traffic jam here. I want to catch the airport. I wish I can fly like a helicopter and go straight to airport from here. Or I wish I just don't go through all checkups and corona and RT-PCR and everything. I just fly on my own and reach the destination. That is mystic power, right? And many times we get a dream. Okay, I am doing that, what I am thinking of. But there is a science in Himalayas and many places where you learn to become lighter than the lightest, heavier than the heaviest. You can create anything what you want to create. You can heal anybody. You can mystify anybody. You can just read anybody's mind. Huh? It's wonderful, huh? If I first come to know now, and I know the art of reading all your mind, my God, I'll faint maybe in a few minutes if I come to know what all of you are thinking right at this moment of time. And we'll also get scared. If someone is here who is reading my mind. Because we sometimes also ashamed what we think of, you know. And what if somebody reads it? Amazing. But everybody wants to be in that mystic zone somewhere. Somewhere somebody knows something beyond time, beyond space, beyond vision. He can tell something. You are always mystified. Wow, what else? Tell me. Something more you can tell me about it, like that. Tell me when I'm going to die, when I'm going to get rich, when I'm going to get married. You can tell me when I'm going to get educated, when I'll be richer than today. So there's a inner hunger of being mystic also. That is Siddhi Yoga, Siddha Kanda. But our Bengali verb is there, nice statement. Huh? Bhukti মুক্তি, সিদ্ধি, কামি সকলও অশান্ত। অল দিস পিপল আর অলওয়েজ অশান্ত, দে আর ডুইং হোয়াট দে আর ডুইং, বাট দে আর নেভার স্যাটিসফাইড অর নেভার পিসফুল অর নেভার ব্লিসফুল। ভক্তি মিন্স ভোগা, দ্যাট ইজ সেন্স গ্র্যাটিফিকেশন, কর্মকাণ্ড, অ্যান্ড মুক্তি মিন্স জ্ঞানয়োগীজ। তো ভক্তি, মুক্তি, সিদ্ধি, দ্যাট ইজ মিস্টিক, অ্যান্ড কামি মিন্স দোজ হু ডিজায়ার, ভক্তি কামি, মুক্তি কামি, অ্যান্ড সিদ্ধি কামি, অল দিস কামিজ আর সকল অশান্ত, অলওয়েজ দে আর আনহ্যাপি অ্যান্ড ডিস্টার্ব, নেভার পিসফুল। কৃষ্ণ ভক্ত নিষ্কাম, অতএব শান্ত। Why everybody is unhappy? Because every three activity about karmakanda, jnanakanda, siddhikanda is self-centered. Only selfishness, nothing to do about God also. I worship God not for God, for myself I worship God. I pray to you that you make me rich. I pray to you, you give me good wife. I pray to you, you give me, make me famous. So I only use you. You are good because you are helping me to become happy. But it has nothing to do with God actually, in one sense. He is the order supplier or your resource, that's all. He is not your worshipable God. Only Krishna Bhakti, only devotional service is the only way where you don't think of yourself, only think of Him. And that is why He is happy. Till the time you keep thinking about yourself and your own welfare, and your own, even Uddhar also, you are never happy. Don't think people who get Mukti are happy, because they don't know after Mukti what to do, what next. There are lot of things are there after Mukti also. But Krishna Bhakta, even if he is not Mukta today, he is still happy, because his focus is not within to himself, but it is within for the Lord. He is focusing on the Lord. So that's why India is filled up with all these things. And when Prabhupada was there in 1965 in India, almost, you know, 69 year old, lived most of his life, and when he was young at 22, Mayavad was the most prominent thing in India. What is Mayavad? Considering the Lord as not person, but only Shakti, or one person who has no eyes, no ears, no tongue, no senses, no akar, nothing. It's very insulting actually. Yeah? If suppose you are a young man, beautiful man, I tell you, I don't consider you have eyes, I don't consider you have ears, I don't consider you have hands, you have nothing, you are a bodiless personality. While, by the way, you are a personality-less being, you have no personality only. Such an insult to call somebody being no person at all. And that too to a supreme personality of Godhead. He's not an ordinary person. He's a supreme personality of so many gods who are supreme people themselves. To call that person as no person is really insulting. But majority of movements in India are based on that. They want to simply merge into light, into the void, or into the energy, into that zone. They talk such flowery words about that. I want to become one with that light. I want to become one with the effulgence. But Bhagavatam also explains, and many other people, places it is explained, that if you somehow reach that stage of being one with the energy of the Lord, still after some time you get unhappy, ashanta. Why? Because your propensity as a person that you are not getting fulfilled over there. You are just existing. I am also existing, you are existing. But we are all not only existing, we are doing something which is giving pleasure to us, which is giving meaning to our life, which is giving purpose to our life. Something worth I am living. I am just not just being here. I am doing something which is making my life very purposeful and happy. So, it is explained that from that level of effulgence, souls are falling down. Souls are falling down. Again taking bodies. And then they do charitable work. Paramarth. To treat the sick people, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked people. or to serve the underprivileged, so many things. That gives them some pleasure. Still not complete, but they feel some worth. That I am helping somebody to at least come out of their misery. And then comes Madhvacharya, to be specific about. He comes and he tells, no, there is something beyond that energy. That energy is of a person who is energetic, and that is the Lord, the Supreme Lord, who has 64 qualities, who has 60 qualities, who has four arms, who has a place called Vaikuntha, and there no one dies, no one takes birth, everybody is eternal and happy and blissful, serving the Lord. The Supreme Lord is there, everybody is all time serving and just want to serve them eternally. They don't think of themselves, just want to please the Lord. That is personalists. Those who are able to understand that I am a person and he is also a person, a supreme person, and I have a relationship with him, and that is of love and service, and I want to establish that relation with him. I want to be happy in that relationship, because I know even I started connecting, I was so happy. So I want to be more connected. I want to be more connected in service. Make my life full of service to that supreme person. But the relationship is the Lord and I am his servant. Always we are all servants. But then we come to know that there are some things which are beyond that also. What are that? Yes, I am a servant. But I also can become friend. Like the coward boys. I can play with the Lord. I can dance with him. I can jump in Jamuna with him. I can become like a frog and have fun with him. I can play Gulli Danda with him. I can steal butter with him. I can do so many things. And I don't lose my being servant. I can still be servant, but I can do so many things. And then there is further thing, that you can become mother and father of Krishna also. The Supreme Lord. And now the Lord is not four-armed. The Lord is two-armed. He is not reduced. He has upgraded. He is not reduced. When he has four arms, he has one activity, one aura, one, you know, existence. When he becomes two-armed, he becomes very loving and very charming and very fulfilling and very wonderful. That means what? We are now trying to come from the realm of Vaikuntha to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, that same person who is a big personality becomes a simple personality. Huh? Becomes a very simple personality. And he relates to you as a friend, as a child, you know, as a fun giver person. All those simple things without showing you that he is a Lord. He can be with you. It's like Prime Minister, when he goes to his mother's house, he's not going as Prime Minister. The mother is moving her hand on his head and giving him 100 rupees as a shagun, you know. You come to me as on your birthday, so happy birthday, beta. Do nice service. She's not treating him as a Prime Minister of India, who has so much of escort and who has got so much of aura and so much of influence and so much of power. He can move things and change things in the whole India, make India very famous all over the world, respectable country. But mother is saying, my Narendra has come. So what is Narendra doing? Narendra is giving up his position as Prime Minister in front of his mother. He wants to be just like a child, you know, like he was when he was a child. And he wants to remain like that. And she wants to remain like his mother always. Sleep in time, beta. Don't eat wrong things. Don't take so much of trouble. Sleep in time. Take rest. Take good medicine if you are sick. Take rest. That's possible, no? Everywhere else is a Prime Minister, but with his mother, he is a child, simple child. So Supreme Lord also wants his devotees to have that feelings with him. Just to become father of the Lord, elder uncle of the Lord, father's elder brother also, older brother's wife, Taiji, Tauji, huh? Kaka, Kaki, Chacha, Chachi, all of this we can become. And the Lord will reciprocate. And beyond that is the last thing, that you can become a boyfriend of the girlfriends of Vrindavan. You can have that wonderful relationship. Before that, there is marriage. Rukmini, Satyabhama, they all get married with two-armed Krishna. Huh? And there are not one, 16,108 wives. All of them are more beautiful than other. More and more beautiful than other. Best and best, better cooks than others. Best decoration than others. There is nobody you can say, she's better or he's better. Or she's better. There's only beauty and happiness and service and nishtha and loyalty. Everything is at the best. And plenty of variety is there in that. Somebody is sulky in nature, somebody is very subservient in nature, somebody is very simple hearted, somebody is very straightforward, somebody is sharp. Variety of queens are there. And Krishna relates with everybody beautifully. He gives a chance to all those variety of ladies to interact with him the way they are, and accordingly he reacts with them. And then when he comes to Vrindavan, he even gives up that. He just connects with the gopis as the topmost lovers. As they give up everything for him, he is also ready to give everything for them. So much so, because their love is so superfine, much more superfine than the queens also. So much so, that he wants to not only become their friend, but wants to become subordinate to them also. As king, he is their husband. He is their swami. He still remains swami, and they remain his wives. Subservient, serving wives. But as gopis, in front of gopis, he is no more their swami. They consider him as swami, but he considers himself as their subordinate. Controlled by them. He does everything as per their desire. He cries when they are upset with him. And the topmost of all that, we started from Karmakandi. And like there is a discussion between Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Kovur, rising gradually from there. I took many less steps. There are many steps that discussed, and he finally came to Radharani. Amongst all the gopis, the topmost is Radharani. And Krishna is so much enamored by her love. He is not like generally the husbands, when their wives love them too much, they become henpecked, you know. That means they are just completely controlled by them for other purposes. But here Krishna is not like that. Krishna is behaving like that only because of the extent of their love is so much that unfathomable, unimaginable, that Krishna simply gives up himself to that love. And by that what he shows? He, although I am Supreme Lord, although I am Shad Aishwarya Purna, although I am powerful, although I am controlling, although I am the proprietor, although I am the enjoyer, but still, what I love is to become subordinate to my best lovers. And that is very unique, and that no one knows. Only if you are introduced to the concept of Vrindavan, then you will come to know little about it. Oh, that supreme controller also is controlled over here by somebody. How it is possible? Jayadev Goswami could not imagine that. He was seeing the pastime of Krishna bowing down to Radharani, and he couldn't believe, he couldn't fathom, you know, he could not comprehend how this is possible. So he stopped writing. He couldn't write further. He was totally bewildered. He thought, I need a break. I need to go and take bath in Ganga. My head is too hot. I need to cool it down and think again whether it is true or not. And when he went to Ganga, what happened? The Lord himself came in the form of Jayadev Goswami and completed those incomplete lines which Jayadev could not write. That means what? The Lord is trying to tell all of us, yes, I do bow down to Radharani. Yes, I am controlled by her. Yes, I am subordinate to her love. I don't have any shame or any hesitation or any embarrassment to tell you. It's not my hidden fact. It's an open fact. And I have come to write it down myself. And he wrote it down. And he disappeared. He took prasad from Padmavati, his wife, and he went away. After the real Jayadev Goswami came. And wife is saying, "Are you came just now and ate everything and you're asking food again?" Said, "No, I didn't come. I was like hot-headed. I was trying to cool it down. I could not comprehend." He said, "Who came?" Said, "No, what I did? You went inside and did something and you came back. And then I fed you." So he ran inside and he saw. The lines were completed with pearl-like handwriting, different from his handwriting. And then we went in ecstasy. He said, "Padmavati, Lord Krishna, Lord Madhav came. And see, he wrote down that he does fall down at the feet of Radharani. It's a fact. He himself completed the verse in the handwriting different than mine." And both of them fell in ecstasy, unconscious. He said, "Padmavati, you are so fortunate that Madhav came and ate in from your hands. You are so lucky." And she went in ecstasy and she fell down. But what is the fact? That the Lord came and declared to the world, "I do bow down to my beloved Radharani, and she is my mistress." Although you may think all over the world, "Okay, I am the boss," but actually she is my boss. And I love to be having her as my boss. It's not a hidden shame for me. What do people come to know? I am controlled by her. No, I am openly telling all of you, I love her controlling me. So that is the personality of Radharani, which is a hidden secret behind Krishna's existence. It is explained in Nandishwarashtakam by Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad that the golden effulgence of Barsana is also extending over Nandagaon, which has its original blue effulgence of Krishna. But it overpowers that blue effulgence by its golden effulgence, so that Krishna, who is always restless in Nandagaon without Radharani, is pacified to a certain extent when he is there. When he comes there, and it is all right, and she manages his happiness. But when he has to be away from her in Nandagaon, he becomes restless because of her absence. So she sends her golden effulgence to his place and pacifies him till the time he is there. That is the inner secret of Vrindavan. And Krishna is very happy. He not only bows down to her, he puts his peacock feather at her feet. Then also she is not sometime accepting. Then he cries tears and washes her feet with his tears. Still she doesn't budge. Then he rolls in the wet sand under her feet. Rolls in that. And then he dances as peacock also. He does everything just to pacify her and make her happy. Now we'll go back a little bit. After we have ascended the ladder, we go to the different place. In Ram Leela, you know, Lord Ram, he had bow and arrow, right? In other incarnations, he carries sometimes 12 arms and 4 arms and sometimes 16 arms also, sometimes 10 arms also. And there are many weapons in that. Beyond Shankar Chakra Padma Gada, he has Sarpa, he has Talwar, and he has Dhanushabana also. I mean, there are 12 arms, something else is there also. There are so many things are there. But as Lord Ram, he brought only one, Dhanusha and Baan. And you know how he used to shoot that? You know that this fan is moving here. How many blades are there in that? Can you tell me? Can you tell me how many blades are there? Now you can't say anything. It's only a dark circle, little dark circle. There could be 4, there could be 3, there could be 2 also. But they are moving so fast that you see only a blue circle. Somewhat moving, you can see, ulta sulta. Like that, he would shoot arrows. Shurpanakha is describing. She is telling Ravan now, describing, you know, when he would take out from the quiver, when he will put on the bow, when he will pull, when he will send, and when he will take out again. It was like a goal circle only. Constantly, he was, in 45 minutes, he killed 14,000 demons, including Trishira and Khara and Dushan also. In 45 minutes, he's finished everybody. He was so quick that nobody saw his hand, nobody saw the arrow. Only they could see the arrow when it struck through their heart. And when they are dead, how many minutes are there? How many moments are there? Nobody knew anything. So it is explained that Sita told him, "You are very cruel, you know. My dear Swami, you are very cruel. You kill people like, you know, right and left. Just there is no mercy only. How can you be so cruel? I understand for my sake and for sake of people, for doing things, but this is too much cruelty. So much, you know, speed and so much of lack of consideration. They said, okay, okay. So that incarnation got over. And the same Sita came as Radharani. And the same Ram came as Krishna. So he told, okay, I will not use any weapon. And then he put the hand in the horse's mouth and the horse died. He broke the, you know, separated, bifurcated the beak of Bakasur and Bakasur, the duck died. And then he rose the Dhenukasur, Balramji, and then so many people, Arishtasur, he just whirled him and he banged him on the ground and they passed stool and urine together. And so many and so forth. Kamsa, he just gave a box to him and dragged him around. No weapon anywhere. But still Radharani said, still you are so cruel, you know. You punch them and you kill them. You hold them in the sky and you kill them. And then after that he stopped. Till the time she was with him, he was not using any weapon. When he left her and went away, Kaumudaki, Sarangpani, and you know, Salwar, everything he took out. And started killing demons like anything. If you read the post-Braj Leela, there's so much of weapons Lord has used. The 1,000 arrows and 500 arrows and so many things. Banasur had so many arms and Krishna used to with one hand, with one bow and arrow, he would just finish him off. So many things he did. So Radharani said, you are still cruel, you know. I have reduced, but you are still cruel. So, okay, next time I come, I won't carry any weapon. And I won't kill anybody. That means, till the time Sita was out of him, he was still killing. Vinashayacha Dushrutam. He was still killing, killing and killing. Yes, he was doing Paritranaya Sadhunam also. But he was still killing. He had to kill side by side while saving the sadhus and giving them pleasure. When he came as Radharani, he reduced a bit. He killed by hand only, not by weapons. But that Radharani, when she entered in him, he changed. He completely changed. Point to note. Point to note. Dina hina yatha chilo harinama uddarilo taranama tarasakshi jagai madai. Whom he is saving? Not some Bakasur or Arishtasur. They were actually compared to Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kumbhakarna and Dantamakra, Shishupal. They were nothing. In front of Kamsa, they were superfluous. And it is said that they were performing sinful activities of variety of kinds which you and me cannot imagine also. They would do all those sinful activities in one day that you and me together cannot do whole life together with our full effort. We cannot do those kind of sinful activities. The quantity and the quality, both. That they would do in one day. And you know something? Yamraj was totally exhausted. With all his staff, they were completely frustrated. Just by keeping the record, what to speak of giving reaction to that or punishment to that. They were frustrated, they were overworked, they wanted to just give up their lives. They wanted to resign. Yam Loka was filled up with holes, with all the records of the sinful activities done by Jagai and Madai. And to them he delivered, not to what to speak of anybody else. Why is that? Before, he only came as Varaha and killed Hiranyaksha. He only came as Narasimha, killed Hiranyakashipu. He only came as Ram, killed Ravana and Kumbhakarna. He only came as Krishna and killed Dantavakra and Shishupal. And many, many, many more, including Kamsa. And now the same personality is tolerating Titiksha and showing extreme Karuna. And not only, I mean, forget about not killing. That's one thing. Okay, I don't kill you. But he's giving them Krishna Prem. Can you imagine this? See, I take up Krishna consciousness, okay? I took up some year in life. And I'm still struggling. And I don't know how many steps I've taken till today. Like, there are 9 steps. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, ಭಜನ ಕ್ರಿಯಾ, ಅನರ್ಥ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಿಷ್ಠಾ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಆ ರುಚಿ ದೆನ್ ಆಸಕ್ತಿ ದೆನ್ ಭಾವ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ರೇಮ, ಅದರ್ 9 ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ಸ್. ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ವಿಚ್ ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ ಐ ಮೀನ್. ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಇಯರ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಪಾಸ್ಡ್, ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಟುಡೇ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಸಿನ್ಫುಲ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ. ಯಮರಾಜ್ ಇಸ್ ಫ್ರಸ್ಟ್ರೇಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಮೈ ರೆಕಾರ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಮೊಮೆಂಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಡ್ಯಾನ್ಸಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಸಿ ಶೇರಿಂಗ್ ಟಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲವ್. ವೆರ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ಸ್ ಗಾನ್? ಆಲ್ ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಮರ್ಜ್ಡ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್, ಓನ್ಲಿ ಸ್ಟ್ರೇಟ್ ಪ್ರೇಮ. ನಾಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ, ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಸಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶಾವರಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ರೇನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟಿಯರ್ಸ್. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಂಟ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮೇಷನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಇಸ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್. ವೈ ಯು ನೋ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ರಾಧಾರಾಣಿ ಹಸ್ ಎಂಟರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಮ್. ಟಿಲ್ ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಮ್, ಹಿ ವರ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ರಾಧಾರಾಣಿ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲೈಕ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಶಿ ಎಂಟರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಮ್. ಆ್ಯಸ್ ಸೂನ್ ಆಸ್ ಶಿ ಎಂಟರ್ಡ್, ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಟು ಪ್ಲೇಸ್, ಅನ್ಬಿಲೀವೇಬಲ್ ಚೇಂಜ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಟು ಇಸ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್. ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ದ ಪವರ್ ಟು ಚೇಂಜ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಪರ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿವ್ of outlook of the Supreme Lord. In the previous incarnation, if he was Krishna, he will just kill Kamsa like this. Now he is giving them love, forgetting, not even looking at the sinful activities. Dina hina yata chalo, the most fallen degraded souls, you should punish them right and left, make them straight. But he is ignoring that, nullifying that, purifying their heart and putting them abundant of pure love, which makes them overwhelmed. Why this all happened? Because I'll tell you a small pastime. Why this happened? Because one time on Sharad Purnima, Krishna performed Rasalila. He began the Rasalila, he expanded with all the gopis, and each person with each gopi, and they were dancing and he was serving them. Sometimes he was bringing water from Jamuna for them, sometimes he was massaging their feet, sometimes he was, you know, resting them on his thighs, and you know, so many things individually with one gopi he was doing. And they felt they were so special that Krishna is doing this, so many things for them, combing their hair, massaging their feet, giving them water, mopping their sweat, and menial things Krishna was doing. So they got a bit proud, including Radharani also. But before that, he just vanished. And he took Krishna, Radharani, and went away. I'm telling you short. So then after that, Radharani was alone, and it was said that he went to Nidhivan and spent time with her. And then she said, I'm so tired in my father's house. I don't even walk so much. Today you made me walk so much, all the way. Now I can't walk anymore. So she felt that I'm so special, that Krishna is giving so much attention. So Krishna said, okay, I'm bowing down, you climb on me, I'll take you on my shoulders. So he bowed down, and she was about to climb, and he vanished. And then she realized, oh, I shouldn't have become proud like this. See, he vanished, they lost him, and I also lost him for the same reason. All of us are so foolish. And then he started singing songs and everything, and Krishna left them, and he came to a tree. The tree is called Imli Tala, the tree of Imli in Vrindavan, in the bank of Yamuna, you know. And he sat down there because he also not so happy leaving them, but still didn't like them to be proud. So he just sat down in separation and he thought, oh my dear Radharani, Kalindi Tata Kunja Mandira Gatir. He is meditating on her lotus feet in the heart, in the courtyard of his heart. He is just meditating on those two beautiful pinkish lotus feet. And by the lips, he is chanting Radhe, Radhe, and he's closed his eyes, and his existence is simply on that meditation and that chanting. That means what? Even Krishna does his sadhana. He has sadhana. He meditates on Radharani's feet, and he chants Radhe, Radhe, with closed eyes, with full absorption, at the banks of Kalindi, that is Jamuna Nadi, that is given in scriptures. So he was in that immersed condition, and he became, I mean, it is not like us, you know, we chant in the morning and half the time we are sleeping, or half the time we are thinking of something else. Our mind is never on the holy name. In this case, Krishna is chanting Radharani's name in such intent, in such intensity, such concentration, such, you know, immersed situation, magna hokar, that his color changed. From dark blue, it became golden effulgent color. He didn't know. He doesn't know that. His eyes are closed, he is meditating, his lips are chanting, and he doesn't know anything, he is fully immersed, he is not there in one sense. But externally he had become golden completely. Everything remained same, his dhoti remained same, his mukut remained same, but he became golden yellow. And there what is happening? Radharani and gopis are singing songs and asking the creepers and the birds and the Brahmya Devata and the Vanya Devata, where is our Krishna? Have you seen our Krishna? Tava Kathamritam, huh? Jayati Te Dhikam, you know, even Lakshmi comes here, Indira. Why we are so unfortunate? We are burning with misery of separation. Where are you, my Lord? Now we are feeling some solace by talking about you, by acting about you, by thinking about you. But still, we are burning in separation. Suddenly they see that man under the tree who's closed his eyes and he is looking like Krishna, something like Krishna only, but he's golden yellow color. And they said, stop. And they're wondering, who is this boy? Who is this man? We have never seen this man in Vrindavan. But who is this? Wearing Pitambar like Krishna, wearing mukut of Krishna, but he is not blue, he is golden yellow. So they discuss among long time themselves. Who is he? Who is he? Who is he? And there couldn't be an answer because nobody knew the answer. So they told Radharani, okay, now you go and touch him and ask him, who are you? How did you come to Vrindavan? From when you are in Vrindavan? And what has happened to you? Why are you closing your eyes? What are you doing? So many questions. So she goes, like suppose you are closed eyes, what I will do? I'll touch you, na Prabhuji. Time to clean the floor. Darshanarthi is beginning. Get up from here. You're not sleeping, but you have closed eyes chanting Hare Krishna. So I'll touch you and tell you, Prabhu, get up now, go and sit there. So she also went and touched him to ask him, who are you? And when she touched him, he turned dark blue again. His golden color just went, faded in a very nice manner, and the dark blue colors came over very beautifully. Very beautifully transition took place. And he opened his lotus eyes and he saw around. So she asked, oh, you are Krishna. I was wondering, who are you? What happened to you? Or who are you? Who is that person? And why is he here? And what is he doing here? We never saw him before. Oh, it was you. How wonderful. But tell us, what happened to you? How did this happen? So he said, when I left you, all of you, I went into a separation from you. And I sat here at the bank of Yamuna, meditating on your lotus feet, two lotus beautiful soft feet, in the courtyard of my heart, worshipping your feet, meditating on them, and I was chanting your name by my lips. And while doing that, I lost myself. I didn't know who I was. I forgot who I was. And I don't know what happened to me. And I was simply drowning in the ocean of nectar of happiness and bliss. It was such an unknown happiness that I went on drowning and went on drowning and went on enjoying and went on enjoying. And I never wanted it to stop. And I was just, something, you know, something is known to you are not so surprised. But something is unknown to you and giving bliss to you, you are overwhelmed by that. And this part of the happiness was not known to him. Although he is Sarvagya Krishna. Matasmutir Jnanam Apohanamcha. Everything comes from him. Vedas come from him. He is the knower of Vedas. He is to be known from Vedas. He is everything from Vedas. He is everything. He knows everything. But still he came to know, I do not know this thing that is happening to me now. I don't know this. What is all this thing about? So I am wondering also and relishing also. And this was my status. But in between you came and touched me. And that whole range of happiness, the whole waves of the ocean stopped. And I was disconnected from that. And I came back from that situation to in front of you. Why you touched me and brought me back? I wouldn't have liked to get out of the situation. But now because you have brought me back to this situation, my hankering for that which I enjoyed for some time is now hundreds and thousands of times. Now I just cannot stay without that experience. Now I understand that you enjoy more than me when I relate with you. You enjoy something which is unbelievable, unknowable to me when I am relating. I am also happy. But what I am gaining as happiness is something different from what you are gaining. And what you are gaining is millions of times more than what I am gaining. And now I am hankering. I am curious. I cannot stay anymore here. Now I have taken decision now only. Long time to go in this incarnation, but now only I take a decision that I come again in the incarnation with your bhav. And I will spend 48 years on earth simply trying to search what you are enjoying and experience that. Because I have come to know this great secret of your personality. Now I understand that I am enjoying nothing compared to what you are enjoying. I want to relish that. I am not envious of you, but I want to know what you are doing. Can you imagine, just to know what the secret of Radharani's personality is, the Supreme Lord has spent one incarnation separately. Ek pura avatar kharch kiya unhone. Just to know that personality called Radharani. Who is she? What is the intricacy of her personality? What kind of love she has? I am the source of all love. But still I don't know what kind of love she has. What kind of compassion she has. Next time I'll tell you one more story. Because time is not there now. But I'm telling you that Supreme Personality of Godhead also is Parivartanshil. That means he is also changing. He can be changed by only one personality. That is Radharani. So the secret behind Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance is Radharani. You see, our temple has got three deities. Gaur Nitai, Radha Giridhari and Jagannath Balde Subhadra. If you think deeply, you understand that Radharani is the basis of all three altars. She is the basis behind all. What is Jagannath? Jagannath is Jagannath because he is in separation from Radharani. Is it not true? If he is not in separation from Radharani, he has two arms and two legs and beautiful, everything is fine. He is still beautiful, not that he is not beautiful. But the unique form that Jagannath has got, the whole world is coming and explaining, hey, I see you, Bhagavan. That is only because of Radharani. Because Radharani is in him in the form of separation from him. He is in separation from her. That means she is still connected in separation. And that is why there is such ecstatic Mahabhava transformation in his personality take place. Otherwise it would not take place if she was not Radharani. In Radha and Krishna's pastimes, she is the boss and he is the servant. It is said that in Radha Krishna's pastime, as long as he stands with her, he has all that effulgence. And when she goes away from him, he becomes nistej. For two reasons. Because she is not there next to him to give him effulgence, and he is feeling separation from her. That's why also he is in this stage. So in Krishna's avatar also, it is because of him only he exists. And what about Gauranga Mahaprabhu? She has entered in him in the form of bhav. So he is externally Krishna, but internally Radharani. Is it not true? And she told him, you know, she knows everything much, much better than Krishna also. She told him, yes, I understand that you have chosen to come next time with my bhav. I guarantee you, if you take my bhav and come, you will fall from trees. You will fall in the water. You will fall in the stone, pebble and stones, and you will hurt yourself. And even thinking of that, I am feeling so much distressed. So I always tell you, now only that I will cover you with my complexion, with my kanti. So that even if you fall down in strong thorns and pebbles and stones and water, you will not get hurt. I can't even imagine you having my bhav and what's going to happen to you. I can't even imagine and tolerate thinking what will happen to you. So she knows more than Krishna what is the meaning of Radha bhav. Huh? So what is Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Radha bhav. That means not Radha. Radha bhav is essence of Radha. The essential ingredient of Radharani is her bhava. And that bhav has the essential ingredient of Radharani has got inside Krishna. And externally, she is covering himself with her complexion. You can see? Sabhayabhyantara, inside, outside, is Radharani only. Krishna is there only for namesake. For what he is there, just to experience. That only is his role. He exists as Krishna only to experience, otherwise he is Radha only. And that is why there is so much compassion. There is so much compassion only because of that. That's why Jagai Madai, if he would have seen them in Krishna's form, he would have killed them immediately by chakra. In fact, he came with chakra also. But what stopped him? The compassion by the personality who is inside him, which has changed him, changed his nature altogether. So that is why the secret of the appearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Radharani. Again, when you take out Radharani from him, he again will take up chakra and again he will do so many things. Yes, so he is that personality from whom, she is that personality from whom Krishna receives rasa, receives happiness, receives bliss, receives sustenance. The reason for existence he receives from her. And when he receives rasa from her, then he grows it and then he becomes Rasaraj and then he distributes it all over the Vrindavan. But from where he gets it? He gets it from Radharani. There is the only place where he rolls in the dust of Barsana. The only place is Barsana. Because Radharani walks there barefoot. So let us all thank Radharani that she has given us Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She has given us a transformed Krishna. Acharyas say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is much, 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 much more merciful than Krishna also. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's abode is much, much more audarya, munificent, kind, compassionate than Vrindavan Dham also. Because Vrindavan Dham, if you go and make some mistake there, nah, you have lots of problems. Krishna's pastimes with Radharani and Gopis are very, very, very sweet. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes with his associates is unbelievably sweet. Unimaginably sweet. This is cannot imagine only. What kind of love that he expressed. There is no girlfriend, boyfriend there, by the way. Huh? In Krishna, there is girlfriend and gopis and wives and so many things. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, what do you see? Only men and men and men only. All women have come as men. But you see their love? It's overwhelming, inconceivable. You can't understand what kind of love is this. How Mahaprabhu expresses love to his fellow devotees and to the fallen conditioned souls. Unbelievable. We cannot imagine. That is why it is also called as Channa Avatar, kept hidden. Because so much glory, an ordinary man cannot fathom and can't understand also. He may criticize also. That's why it's called Channa Avatar. He has come as hidden avatar. And you can imagine, we are those fortunate people who have been told by Krishnadas Kaviraj Maha Goswami, by the mercy of Rupa Raghunath, by the mercy of Murari Gupta, by mercy of Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has declared the truth to all of us, that this is like this. It's not other way around. Otherwise, what is, you know, I read in history, geography books, history books in the past and childhood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Bengali saint who used to dance on the road chanting the holy name. This is a description in the history books about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was like Tukaram, one of the saints. They are from Maharashtra, he is from Bengal. His typicality was he would dance on the road. That's all. But who has glorified and exposed the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Is Krishnadas Kaviraj. Is Vrindavan Das Thakur. Is what is that? Lochandas Thakur in Chaitanya Mangala and many other acharyas afterwards also. It is by their mercy we people in Gaudiya Sampradaya have come to know the glories of the secret of Radharani. And there are so many bona fide sampradayas in India which talk about Krishna as a person. They are bona fide sampradayas, but they don't know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Don't know about Chaitanya. They know Vishnu, they know Venkatesha, they know Lord Ram. It's very good, it's not bad. But beyond that, the real secret of all the existence is not known. This Radharani is supposed to be Janani of Mahavishnu also, Devi Bhagavat tells. That she has given birth to Mahavishnu. She is the mother of Mahavishnu. That's not given in Vedas, in Upanishads. It's not given in Upanishads. But it's a secret. That's why it is hidden. Only when we become qualified by the akaran, by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord, this secret is revealed to you. I may not have pondered upon that, I may not have any realization about that, but at least I know it as a theory. That is my greatest fortune. And let us all use this fortune. Don't just know and just give it up. We have to work on it. We have to thank Radharani and respond to her by becoming a good devotee, because she has made that merciful transformation in Krishna's personality, and she has sent that personality to distribute love all over the world and inundate the world, flood the world, get the world mad in love and devotion. Make moksha also appear to be insignificant. Laguta Krita. By whose mercy? By Radharani's mercy. This fortune has been made available to us. So how do we respond? We respond by chanting Hare Krishna every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You know what my latest realization is? The only difficulty is lack of focus in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The only difficulty, I can tell you, if you can attend to the holy name for 16 rounds every single day, then all your problems of life will be solved instantly. I guarantee you. But with me also, keeping that same focus for all 16 rounds is difficult. Mind just, you know, mind is jumping like a monkey from branch to branch, from thought to thought. And every day I know that. And every day I'm fighting with it. Every day I know it, so I'm fighting with it. When that day will be mine? When every single mantra, I will call Krishna. I will call him, my Lord. Krishna, Hare, Radhe, Ram. Where are you, my Lord? I want to be with you. I want to serve you. Where are you, my Lord? Every word, if I do that, I'll tell you, there will be no difficulty in the world. And even though there are difficulties in the world, they will not touch you at all. You will be totally oblivious to that. Above that, transcendental to that. So much power is there in the holy name, and that holy name Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Stane astane na dekhila, patre apatre na dekhila stane astane. He has not seen whether anybody is qualified or not qualified, or where he is giving that name is good place or not place. Whether it is a gutter, or whether it is a pub, or whether it is a brothel, or whether it is an alcohol shop, or whatever it is. It's not important. He has not seen that differentiation. He has just distributed everybody the same holy name without seeing qualification. Patre apatre na dekhila. Have we all developed brahminical qualities? But still it is given to you. Because in the one time, there was one time in Kali Yuga also, only Brahmins were given this Mahamantra. And nobody else. They were condemned. They were killed sometimes, abandoned by people, if they would chant the holy name of the Lord. Only so-called caste Brahmins can chant. And Mahaprabhu came and changed the situation. And he gave it to everybody without discrimination. The treasure of the Golok Vrindavan, he distributed without discrimination. See, he distributed, okay. But distributed without discrimination. All that glorious activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only because of Radharani's entrance in him in bhava form. And the only way we can reciprocate is by chanting the holy name. As Prabhupada said, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. Chant the name always, but chant minimum 16 rounds. And Ayendra Prabhu was asked one day, you know, that if chanting the holy name of the Lord in the congregational way, in Sankirtan way, why do you chant 128 rounds every day? Or 64 rounds every day? He said, when I chant 16 or 64 or 128 rounds, I become eligible to perform Sankirtan. I become eligible to perform Sankirtan. That's why I chant. That is my preparation for doing Sankirtan. I agree with you that the Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy name in Kirtan together. Sankirtan. But how do I get strength and conviction and absorption in that? By chanting Hare Krishna. So both are important. Both are the mercy of the Lord. And we have to do that. As much as possible, as far as possible, as and when possible. Let us get immersed in that. This life is meant to get immersed in that. That is the purpose of this human life. Otherwise, we can pretty well become a bird flying in the sky with beautiful feathers. But we have been given this human life, although not beautiful or ugly or educated or not educated, but opportunity and capacity of getting immersed in the bliss of the holy name is there with each and every one of you, whether you're rich or poor, beautiful or not beautiful. You have the potency and power to be immersed and be blissful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. If there are any questions, you can ask. One minute. We have to worship Krishna only. It is by His mercy only we will get Radharani's mercy. And it is by her mercy only we will get Krishna's mercy. It's all interconnected. But even though we know all these things, what I said, when we worship, we first worship Krishna. Because that is what is pleasing to her also. When you do something which is pleasing to her, then you get her mercy. So we have to worship Krishna only. But the secret behind is that Krishna, when you worship, suppose I call Krishna, 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 two things can happen. He may not hear only, or he may not respond only. But the moment you say Hare or Radhe, immediately he will hear you and he will respond to you. Not only respond to you, he will run behind you. Dhavat yaiva sa sambramaha. He will run behind you in confused condition, in ecstasy. Sa sambramaha. He will become bewildered and run behind the person who is chanting her name. So not only he hears, not only he responds, but he runs behind you and he protects you, he covers you, he does everything for you because he is completely clean bowled by you. So it's all, you know, interconnected. But to begin with, when we don't know all the secrets, let's chant Hare Krishna and gradually we will come to know. Because, you know, we think we know, but it has to be revealed to us. It just cannot be studied in the books. It has to come to the heart level. And we should feel it. But it is like this actually. And then it will be more effective. So do it step by step, nicely every day. Any other question? The question is that what is the difference of the four sampradayas, although they are bona fide, what is the difference? All sampradayas are bona fide to give you the fullest realization. But still, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, you know what he has done? He has taken two most important principles from each of the sampradaya and he has incorporated in his sampradaya. So, because of Mahaprabhu's that special arrangement that he did in his own power, he has taken the essence from all the three and given to his followers in his own authority. He's not trying to condemn that, see, I have made this best, now they are useless. It's not like that. Those two principles which he has taken from them remains with them also, na? Remain with them only, them also. But it's like this, you know, you do PhD. After PhD, there is something called as DSC, Doctor of Science. Much bigger than PhD also. What is that? It takes 10 years to do DSC. That means there is something higher than PhD also is there. So you may have four institutes doing PhD and you may have one institute giving DSC to you. Entrance at least, education, at least possibility. So Gaurang Mahaprabhu's principle is like that. Because the greatest fortune of this sampradaya is that the Supreme Lord, taking Radha Bhav, becoming Gauranga, has come in this sampradaya. In other sampradayas, who is the leader? Either Nimbarkacharya or Vishnu Swami or Ramanujacharya, right? They are Ansha of Krishna. But here the Supreme Lord Himself has come in a very unique form to give the most unique thing which nobody has ever given. What does Lochana Thakur Thakur says? Nobody has ever given this. Who would have told us all these things? Radhar Mahima, Prema Rasa Seema, Jagat Janata Ke, how you would have come to know if He was not there? So Yadi Gaur na hoito, tabe ki hoito, because Gaur is there, all these things are possible. That doesn't mean we condemn anybody else, but we are with Gaura. Very simple. We are proudly telling that I am connected to Gaura through Prabhupada, through my Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada and his Sampradaya. I am connected to Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, Rup Sanatan Goswamis, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. I am connected with them. It's a fact. It's not just dream, or it's not the pride. It's a fact. Pride comes after the fact. Pride is first. I mean, fact is first. So the fact is fact that in my Sampradaya, Lord has come as a devotee, but He has come, Lord has come Himself. So when Lord comes as His devotee or Lord comes as anything else, He will be giving the best, no? And He has given the best. So there is no difference. We don't differentiate, we don't condemn or differentiate. At the same time, we know that factually He has given something else than others. And we are recipients of that. The question is not that. What are we doing with that thing that He is giving us? How we have utilized that? Why He has given all these things to us? Because He wants to uplift all of us to the highest thing in life. But have we really taken those things in fullest extent to uplift our lives? Or we are just putting the tilak and going around and having no effect on us? That is the main question. If you understand that you are in the best sampradaya, then you have to become the best follower of sampradaya also. Inevitably. If you go to the best college of medicine, then you have to become best doctor also. You can't go and keep failing there in exams. Then you are disgraced to that college. Similarly, if you come to the best sampradaya, giving best things, and if you don't become best, then you become disgraced to that sampradaya. Let us become the feather in the cap of the sampradaya, rather than becoming disgrace. Hari Bol. Anybody else? Yes, Mataji. Abode, yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also has an abode. It is something like, you know, a specialized area in Goloka, is Chaitanya Loka. Love is there in Goloka as an overwhelming feature, Prema Dhan. But there is some area where it is manifesting in a different way. It's like that. Like, you know, it is always explained, suppose I eat gulab jam over here, then my senses here have got some capacity to relish that gulab jam. But if I was a demigod in the heavenly planets, my senses have more capacity to relish the existing gulab jamun. The same gulab jamun, if I have here in human body, X experience, I eat there with that body, different experience. Similarly, the same love, if you go to Chaitanya Loka, you have different experience. But for us now, everything is same, because we don't know anything, neither this or that. But technically we know that there is a difference there also. Nothing is monotonous, please understand. Spiritual life and spiritual world is not monotonous. Everywhere there is variety and abundance of variety, and in every variety there is also abundance of happiness. Each one is abundant with abundant varieties in that. There is no boredom, no monotonous nature. It's simply wonderful to be there. Hari Bol. Anybody else? Yes. Sometimes a challenge. My experience is every day is a challenge. Every moment is a challenge. Why it is that after knowing so much also there is an everyday challenge, sometimes challenge? Because we are not enough convinced about the goal of life, purpose of life, and the importance of the holy name. We are not enough convinced about it. That's why we have Marathi bolte na Marathi mein talat malat. Matlab, sometimes in the water, sometimes in the land. constantly thinking what to do, this way, that way, what is better, this way, that way, is sense gratification good or is bhakti good or what? We are just confused. Lack of conviction. Because we do not regularly revise what we need to know. And where the revision takes place? In satsang it takes place. When you come for satsang, the revision takes place. It's nothing new I am telling you. People have told millions of times what I have spoken. But when I speak and you hear, I also hear, and we get renewed understanding, renewed conviction, renewed faith. Maybe tomorrow morning chanting will be good, Sunday morning, holiday. Good chanting will be there in the morning because I have spoken just today evening only. Again it may fade down. Again if I speak something else in some other lecture or hear something from Guru Maharaj, again it will convince me. So the process should continually go on of convincing ourselves more and more and more and doing these things with more and more of more conviction. And we have to keep fighting about it. See, nothing is easy. If you want to get love for love of Gauranga Mahaprabhu which is distributing, you can't be mediocre, naive, lazy or no interest. You can't be like that. You just cannot be like that. You can't get that if you are like that. You will get that only when you are enthusiastic and fighting with full vigor that I want it, and then you'll get it. So we have beautiful temple, devotees, Shastra, Prabhupada, scriptures, talking about it constantly. Just go on hearing. Get up in the morning and first take up the lecture box and take it to the bathroom and start hearing. Who's stopping you? Anybody can stop you? You are alone to yourself. 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes sometimes. Put it on. And while doing your duties, just keep hearing. Enrich yourself. Come out and take the mala and start chanting. You see the difference. It will make difference. And nothing stops you. Please tell me. As you put your mobile next to your head in the night before sleeping, keep that player also next to your head. So that in the morning you don't have to search about it, where it is. Just get up, open your eyes and pick that up first. Then put the light on. Then go to the bathroom, put it on, start hearing. Every word of spiritual master Prabhupada is a nectar. It will nourish you, prepare you for the chanting that you are going to start. And that way your tussle will become easier. Your fight will become easier. It will not be a struggle every time. It will become also a nectar in between. Okay, let us chant one time Gauranga's name. Gauranga! You have the advantage of the ecosystem. Please take advantage. Gauranga! 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 Thank you very much.